The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Little Mac Powell and Third Day to start our final hour. Wonderful stuff. Thank you for joining us. We're going to get into our impact segment. Each hour, it's 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. Here's my hope for this hour. I've got a ton of stories. I hope by the end of this hour, you will have heard each and every one of them. They've been growing by day, and I just want to be informational as well and share a wide variety of stories. I ran into a couple at the grocery store the other day. They somehow recognized me, and they said, "We listen to your podcast every night, mostly to just kind of see what's going on in the world." So I want to, by the end of the hour, share as much information as I can. So I'm going to jump around. Phone lines are always open. Email address is always accessible. In no specific order, and again, these stories are going to be wide and varied. And we begin with the first one, which is it's very humbling, but yet also is hopeful. And I wanted to be careful about talking about the passing of Lois Evans. You may know Pastor Tony Evans' wife passed away. I believe it's been late December from a very rare form of cancer. We hear Pastor Tony Evans every afternoon here on KKLA. I believe he's on at noon with The Alternative. I've been to his church outside of Dallas. This man loves the Lord and has been in the fight for many decades. I'll read you the story. The byline is Amanda Casanova, ChristianHeadlines.com. Pastor Tony Evans recently shared that just before his wife passed away, she told her family she saw, quote, something outside Earth's realm, end quote. According to CBN News, the family had gathered around Lois Evans to say goodbye. Evans shared that his wife saw a glimpse of heaven. Quote, "One of the things that I've observed in life and in Scripture is that when people walk with God and He doesn't take them suddenly, He will give them a glimpse of heaven while they're still transitioning from earth. He'll let them know not only that it's time, but it's okay," end quote. Before she passed away, Lois told her family that she could see her late mother. And then later she said she saw her late father. For example, she said to some who were gathered in the room, "Do you see my mother? Do you see her? She's right over there by the fireplace. Do you see her?" Another occasion, she said, "My father, there's my father." There was no one in the room physically. She was seeing something at the time of her departure as it got closer. Pastor Evans also said that his wife had said, two days, take me up. That was the quote. He said 2.5 days later, she died on December the 30th. Tony Evans also shared, quote, "She heard something, she saw something at the time, as the time of her departure got nearer. Like Stephen in Acts chapter 7, who, when he was being stoned to death, he says he saw heaven opened and Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father, giving him a standing ovation. When the time of your departure comes, you want to be close enough to God that you can hear things that other folk can't hear, see things that other folk can't hear, end quote. May we continue to keep the Evans family in our prayers. And I don't really have a long commentary on that. Other than, and I want to be very careful here. Yeah, as I kind of pray internally about sharing this other story, I get a clear, you don't need to share that. So I'm just going to leave it. There is more than just this life. This I know. And it just kind of troubles me when I hear people that are not followers of Christ. They go, you know, this is it. When you die, or how do you know? This is not all there is. Here's a story on family. It's a bit of good news, bad news, if you will. The Institute for Family Studies has released a report that says more children are living now in intact families. Period from 2011 to 2019 is the longest period of stability or improvement in children's living situations since the 1950s. That's kind of the good news. Nearly one in four children in America are not residing with their own two married parents. This is according to a recently released American Community Survey, the largest annual social survey carried out in the United States. As recently as 1960, less than 2 in 10 children lived apart from two married parents. So, nearly 60 years later, this is how far we have digressed as a culture, especially as it applies to the institution of the family. And along the lines of maybe a little good news, since 2014, the share of children living with two married parents has risen very slightly, 61.8% to 62.3%. Data from an early current population survey suggests that 2019 will even show slight further improvement. By the way, overall, the decline in the share of children growing up in married two-parent households seems to have stopped for now. Much of the change is purely related to various ethnic backgrounds. It's compositional. Asian, Hispanic, multiracial children are growing as a share of children thanks to immigration and intermarriage, while African and Native American children are not. As a result, the nationwide aggregate is improving, but among specific groups, the trends are less optimistic, particularly for Hispanic and Native American children. Family conditions have deteriorated markedly over the last two decades. What else do I have here? I've actually got a section I'm going to save for You've Got to Be Kidding Me. Three news stories that are, well, you got to be kidding me. We'll get to that a little later. Are you familiar with the group Open Doors USA? They are a watchdog non-governmental organization that monitors Christian persecution throughout the world. They've released their 2020 World Watch list. On that list, it highlights a drastic increase in attacks against Christian buildings and the imprisonment of Christians. The annual World Watch list was first launched in 1992, ranks the worst 50 countries in the world when it comes to the persecution of Christians, and is based on data compiled by Open Doors operations in 60 countries. David Curry is president and CEO of Open Doors USA. He's been somewhat of a regular guest on the program. He's a dear friend of mine. He does incredible work raising awareness. This year's list names a number of repeat offenders, as well as new countries where radical Islamic extremism wreaked havoc on Christian communities last year. The report finds that about 260 million Christians experience what we call high levels of persecution in the top 50 countries on the list, an increase of about 6% from last year's report. It also states that 9,488 churches or Christian buildings, or an average of 25 per day, were attacked during last year's reporting period. Comparison to the previous year, 1,266. That obviously is a drastic increase. The top 10 countries on the 2020 World Watch list are the same ones included in the top 10 last year. North Korea continues to hold the top spot on the list for the 18th consecutive year, as the Kim regime continues to imprison thousands of Christians in labor camps while the underground church community continues to grow. North Korea is followed by Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Sudan, Yemen, Iran, and India. By the way, as far as India goes, Hindu persecution against Christians has greatly increased. I have a dear friend who was going to go there on a ministry trip, and they decided not to because the escalation is undeniable. Oh, my goodness. 888-528-2557. There's a couple of stories that I won't say that are hopeful, but this is really promising news. Iowa's female governor used a statewide address earlier this week to declare her support for a proposed constitutional amendment protecting the unborn, calling it part of an effort to protect what she called all stages of life. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds made the comments during her Condition of the State address in front of senators and representatives in the state capitol. This is, again, Iowa. The proposed amendment to the state constitution would prevent the Iowa Supreme Court or lower court justices from using the state document to overturn abortion restrictions. State High Court previously issued a ruling stating that a 72-hour waiting period law, quote, violates both the due process and equal protection clauses of the Iowa Constitution, end quote. Reynolds said she also wants to do more to promote and support maternal health. She said fewer doctors and fewer hospitals are delivering babies and providing care for mothers, especially outside our urban areas. That's why I'm taking steps to increase the number of doctors who are willing and able to provide OB services in all four corners of our state. Iowa. I've been to Iowa. Pretty cool place. Nice place to live. Seems like a governor that's on top of understanding what this is all about. As it applies to the realities of abortion, it's evidently come into sharp focus during this obvious election cycle that we're going through. And pro-lifers seem to have come out in more and more numbers. Colorado, thousands attended the Celebrate Life March to rally against late-term abortions. New measure in the state called Initiative 120 proposes that medical professionals who perform an abortion after 22 weeks, unless the mother's life is at risk, could lose their license for at least 3 years. To the northeast, approximately 9,000 people appeared in Chicago to protest their beliefs in the March for Life Chicago. About 5 years ago, only 1,000 people showed up. So 5 years later, 9,000 people. This year's theme was Life Empowers, Pro-Life is Pro-Woman. You know, I make mention of the impending impeachment trial next Tuesday, and it obviously is a huge story, and will we talk about it? Will we not? And then I think about the realities of abortion. I don't know if you heard the program last week, but the leading cause of death in the world last year, abortion, 41 million plus. And so we talk about the realities of what's important to talk about. My goodness. I just think for those of us that believe in the God of the universe and the truth of Scripture, I think if ever there's an area that God grieves about, it's the taking of a life in abortion. I know it's not popular to talk about. People are like, oh, I can't go there. It's not just non-believers that have had abortions, right? We are indictable in the church as well, but what are we doing? What's really going on here? Is there a path of healing? And how do we break through some of what I see are the complete lies of this issue? Right? I cast no judgment on people that have made that decision. All I'm saying is when I hear one of the greatest PR campaigns ever, right? This is about a woman's right to choose and get proper health care. There's a certain disconnection from the realities of what we're talking about. Right? It's who speaks up for those that don't have a voice? Who speaks up for the unborn? Now I'll get emails. Some of you will say thank you for talking about this. Some of you will say I can't believe what you said. And so be it. All I know is we hear so much about climate change and the end is near. And the reality last year on this blue marble in space, the leading cause of death on this planet is abortion. I would just ask you to take that in prayer, and my goodness gracious, I thank all of the people that have committed their lives to speaking out against the atrocities and have ministries. I think of a ministry in Long Beach called His Nesting Place, where they just take in moms that are just down and out and give them a home and the comforts and help them get back on their feet and help them with their children. I think their website is hisnestingplace.org. He's a dear friend. He and his wife have done this ministry for decades. But there's a lot of heroes in our culture we don't know about, we don't hear about. And my hope is that we can use this forum to get some of the word out that there is hope in the world. There is love in the world. There is joy in the world. There is a level of peace in the world. You won't know it if you tune into the mainstream media because they're all about putting that sensationalistic spin and eliciting some type of a visceral response. They like division and separation. We heard a dear caller, a man named Leonard, who I hope and pray I talk again with. But he said he believes he's never seen division in our country like now, and I'm not so sure I agree with that. I'm suspicious of what the media portrays and what they share, but this brother's burdened, and we as Christians, we need to walk alongside each other and pray with each other, and if we disagree, let's talk about our disagreements, but ultimately look to our King for His truth. And what we can do to right these wrongs, if you will. 888-528-2557. I'm waiting. I'm dancing. Let's go. Come on. Let's do this. Supposed to break. It's late. We're supposed to look at the time and say it's once again for something, and I don't know what's going on in there. So I'll you know, kind of dance a little more. I'm getting the sign massage a little bit. Here, this is what I'll say. Among the other stories we're going to get to, when we come back, we're going to get to the segment called You've Got to Be Kidding Me. There are three news stories, one as it applies to crime, one as it applies to social media, and one relates directly to education. I'll leave it at that. You've Got to Be Kidding Me is next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. I just got an email from somebody that says, do you really believe, and I'm going to share this because this is the truth. Do you really believe about what you say about Galpin Ford? And it's interesting. Yesterday I was driving my truck. I've got 155,000 miles on it. And I'm thinking, I'll drive this thing till it can't be driven anymore. But truth be told, the car before that, I went to Don Rohde, and he got me what I was asking for. Great deal, great APR, the whole thing. And I think literally I had it for about a week before my wife says, I want that car. And she took it. So I have a personal testimony about what Don has done for me. So again, if you're looking for a car, reach out to Don Rohde. I promise you he will help you find the car that you so want. All right, here is oh man, I just realized I did something. I missed something. Oh, I got an email from somebody last night asking about something I played on the program. And it's an audio clip, and I said, tune in at 3 today, I'll play it again, and here we are at 4:30. So no sense in I'll just send her an email, say I blew it. Tomorrow I will do it. She wanted to hear a Francis Chan clip. And this was on the stack of my story. So let me get to, I guess that can fall into You Got to Be Kidding Me. Frank, you missed it. You got to be kidding me, dude. All right, here's three stories. A Michigan man defended himself over a stash of child pornography that was found on his computer. 45-year-old Joseph Gobrick was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Before he was sentenced, he said he was innocent because he identified as an 8-year-old girl. Quote, I've always been an 8-year-old girl, he said. Even my drawings, I've always been an 8-year-old girl. By which the judge promptly found him guilty of three counts of child sexually abusive commercial activity, using a computer to commit a crime. He was sentenced up to 20 years in prison. Got to be kidding me. Story number two, and this is going to build. Each story, I think, as we go on, is more, you've got to be kidding me. Like that one, oh, okay. But listen to this one. And I'm not going to acknowledge the website. I'm not going to give them any type of a plug or attribution. And what does this say about our society? Well, you've got to be kidding me. Millions of college students across the United States, millions, have now given up on solely using scholarships and part-time jobs to pay for their college education, and are instead turning to sugar daddies to cover their expenses. Students looking for these type of people often use the site, and this article lists the name of the site, I'm not going to do that, which is the world's largest dating site in the world for this type of stuff. This week, the website ranked the schools who used their services the most. Virginia Community College came in at number one of community colleges with 2,008 students using the site's services. Among universities, Arizona State University took the top spot with 2,724 students using the website. Students who use the services call themselves sugar babies. Maybe you knew this. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And the website promotes itself as a means to, quote, overcome student debt and help students build career connections. Website went on to read, meeting the right sugar daddy offers collegiate sugar babies access to expanded networking opportunities, mentorship, and financial benefits that come with building a relationship with someone established and successful, end quote. Again, I don't want to be too redundant here, but you got to be kidding me. Over 2 million men call themselves sugar daddies that use this site. And 350,000 women identify as sugar mommies. Now, if that's not almost incomprehensible enough, listen to this number. The website boasts over 8 million female college students that use the site and 3 million men. 8 million women, college students, 3 million men use this site to somehow seek out, obvious what they're seeking here. Often referred to as the student debt crisis, almost 45 million Americans have some level of outstanding student loan debt. Pew Research puts about a third of adults between the ages of 18 to 29 owe some amount of money on student loans. Of young adults who have a bachelor's degree or higher, 49% of outstanding student loan debt. On average, the median amount bachelor's degree holders report owing was around $26,000. All right, so now this final story. I kind of ran it around the room. Some of the younger folk on the program know of this. I've never heard of this, or let alone even thought this was possible, but here's the story. And again, you've got to be kidding me. On Instagram, there is a woman so gorgeous that admiring fans wonder how she could possibly be human. This is a New York Post story. In reality, Shudu, who has nearly 200,000 followers, is more painted than person. She's a 3D digital animation made by an Englishman, some guy named Cameron James Wilson, who bills her as, quote, the world's first digital supermodel, end quote. Shudu is representative of a growing crop of beautiful and highly realistic avatars on social media, created for the sole purpose of gaining followers and making money. And according to this New York Post story, it's working. They're landing lucrative partnerships with the biggest name in fashion, even some social media savvy celebrities are embracing them as well, appearing in photos and videos with their digital counterparts. Even top modeling agencies have signed on to manage the most popular bots. This guy, Cameron Wilson, says, quote, over the past few years, this has really taken off. He runs a virtual influencer company and says he now controls the careers of 7 robot models who, like human influencers, post sponsored content on social media for money. He says his company has grown. It's very lucrative. Although he doesn't say what this particular bot makes, one social media marketing expert who manages both human and digital influencers, I guess this is a thing, says the top bots can make between $10,000 to $15,000 per post, if not more. Last year, two folks, Trevor McFreedies and Sarah DeCow, the creators behind the biggest bot going, her name is Lil McKella, they received $125 million from investors. She happens to be the first and most widely recognized botfluencer. How many followers do you think? 1.8 million. Lastly, going back to the first bot, this Shudu, for Wilson, he says it totally came out of nowhere. He's a fashion photographer by trade. He decided to take up a 3D design as a hobby and created the model based on his favorite Barbie doll. It's kind of creepy. Posted a portrait of her on Facebook in 2017. It went viral. Thousands wondered who this mysterious woman could be. What does it say about us? We don't, I mean, I'm looking at it. It doesn't look real. I mean, are we just so desperate in our imagination for this kind of stuff? Well, let me finish the story. Wilson said he found the enthusiasm encouraging. Yeah, I bet. Quote, as a 3D artist, when people are unable to distinguish if it's a photo or 3D, well, the potential is there for making large sums of money, end quote. So he decided to launch the Instagram page. Thousands of followers started pouring in. Somehow, somewhere, it came out that she wasn't real. He came clean. And now we've got this 3D animation reality thing going on in Instagram. Last part of the story, some person who's a YouTube star called Grace Victory professes to be a lifestyle influencer and body positive activist, says the blame on companies for perpetuating these lies need to be called out. Quote, brands don't seem to care who you are or what you are in this case, as long as you can push a product to thousands and thousands of people. I don't get it. It's wrong, end quote. Oh, boy. I don't know. I have a I'm starting to grow my ministry Instagram page. I don't know what I'm doing. We had 800. I'm just trying to grow that little thing. Maybe we need to do a 3D the KMG man. I don't know. It's just weird. It really is. It's kind of like the fine line between reality and imagination. And this is an indictment on our culture. This is what we do, right? 888-528-2557. By the way, a week from Saturday, it's our KKLA Family Health Fair. It's our fifth one. It's at Pasnaz Church in Pasadena. Bring the whole family. A lot of fun stuff. Informative sessions about health. Free health screenings. Breakfast provided by Hope Cafe. For more information about our fifth annual Family Health Fair, again at Pasnaz Church in Pasadena, go to kkla.com. I think I'm going to do a weather check here while I'm at it. Weather check is brought to you by Circle K Stores. There is a chance of rain this evening and through the early morning hours. National Weather Service says it's about a 50-50 deal. So there may be rain in the forecast. If you drive home after a long day, be careful. If we've got rain on the freeways, give yourself lots of time to be home. Get home, be patient, take deep breaths. You'll get there. Overnight lows in the 50s. Tomorrow highs under clearing skies around 60. Again, this weather check is brought to you by Circle K Stores. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show, our final segment here. I'm going to read a couple of emails. You're always welcome to email me. I shared earlier today, a listener in the Pacific Northwest had shared that she was at the gym, doesn't really have TV, and all the television sets were on, and it said the impeachment of Donald Trump. And she was like, is he still not our president? What's up with that? She shared some other thoughts as well. And now this email, the listener said I can use her name. Her name is Mimi. Frank, I listen almost every day after school and during carpool pickups. Really enjoy your show. I grew up in a Christian family, my grandfather being a Southern Baptist minister, working in ministry my whole life and now a teacher in public school. I'm also a graduate of Biola. One of my biggest life challenges has been divorce and raising my boys well as a single mom whose ex-husband just didn't want to be married anymore anyway. My topic suggestions for you would be along these lines. How much influence do you think your children's teachers really have on them? My son goes to a school of the arts, and now we are having a discussion about him being bisexual. LGBTQ is so accepted and almost promoted at the school. I know that there are many teachers and a good majority of students that have joined the club. I've never prayed so hard for my boys. I want his foundation to be in God alone and in the Word of God. Although I will love him through this, I don't want it to be so. Please join me in fighting through this in prayer, as I know he knows and loves God, but may be confused due to his environment. And then she writes in bold letters, this was my biggest fear in sending him to an art school. He has 2 years left. Now what? She says, I think a great topic is to have a discussion about teacher influence on our children, both positive and negative. I'd also like to hear a discussion about the new law that went into effect about suspensions or not suspending students. I don't have enough info on it, but PBIS, positive-based incentive and support, has been in full effect for a few years now. Let's pray for this woman. And again, if you ever need prayer, reach out to me. Send me an email. I don't often pray on the air, but and not that her struggle is any more or less relevant or important than maybe some things you're going through. But I just want to say this, and if you want to join with me in prayer, please do so. Father, I sit here in awe of you, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you give us the story of your son in this book called the Holy Bible. Thank you for loving us so much to send him into this world by which we are a mess. And yet, Father, I can't help but pray for this young man and his struggle for identity and his mom who loves him that emailed me and the thousands of people listening right now who may or may not know who they are in Christ. Father, you know my Bible verse when I first became a new creation. By your grace, which is a gift I didn't deserve, I don't deserve now. Father, thank you for the gift of grace. But you say in your word, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily and follow me. In Luke 9:23, it's clear that Jesus said, deny ourselves. Lord, I pray that everybody listening will learn and recommit to that again, that we deny ourselves and that we follow you, Jesus, that the only identity is to be found in you. I've shared on my program, as you know, Lord, I give you the glory every day. And you know, on my program, there's churches that may not be completely on track with understanding who you are and who we are and our identity, and they teach false doctrine, or they teach a lot of just fast and loose things about who we supposedly are as humans. Personality tests or whatever it is. Lord, I ask by your mercy and your grace and your power to breathe, as my dear friend Jim Cimbala says, breathe fresh wind and fresh fire into all of us, that we can commit right now, that we can ask for forgiveness and get on our knees, as your word says. Ask for forgiveness. And Lord, please don't take your hand off our country. And I just pray for anyone that doesn't know who you are right now, that you will speak to them by the power of the Holy Spirit, where they may be on a freeway, they may be listening somewhere, they may not even know who you are, and they'll have a supernatural experience that, Lord, you are King and you are Lord and you are Savior. You're the great I Am. You're the God of possibilities. With all things in you, everything is possible. Lord, I just pray right now for a healing of this country, a direction again, born out of the truth of Scripture. And until you take us home very soon, may we be bold for the gospel. May we not waver. May we not be, maybe not be afraid to just share the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you, we honor you, we give you all the glory, and I send this petition to you that you will be sealed, and it will be true, and it will be right and just, and you will, in your will, act as you so choose. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening to this. This is the Frank Sontag Show.